Morning.
Good morning.
We're in Psalm 92, starting at 11. Debbie?
Yep.
Would you like to pray?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this day.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Lord, we don't know what we'd do without you. We don't have to find out because you're always with us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, helping us every day. Father, we just bless you and praise you and thank you. Now bless Brenda, she brings the word.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, let us take it in and feed on it and grow by it.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. So we're starting on, so we did 10, anybody want to bring anything out on 10? That we had last week. So we're starting at 11. And does someone want to read from 11 to 15?
My eyes look upon those who wait, lie, and wait for me. My ears hear the evildoers that rise up against me. The uncompromising, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and of spiritual vitality and rich in the verdure of trust, love, contentment. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen. Anybody want to read another translation? Anybody?
I went and got this. It's long. It's Drake's annotated. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen. Amen. I looked at, when I read this, the most that stood out to me was about the trees of Lebanon and about we being ash trees. And I had looked up scripture, you know, on that, and had read, and I liked the word said in old age, because you think about yourself and how you're getting up in age. And even the lady that I take care of that's 94, she's concerned about being, like, I would say fruitful, but she's ministering how much she can do and what, and she really does minister because she calls people on the phone, people call, you know, call her. She prays with them, because we pray together every day, because I go there Monday through Friday. And I just look at her and just admonish and just tell her how much I see her mentioned. Like at Christmas time, she sent out over 100 Christmas cards. She just wrote a little each day, you know, starting in, you know, December. And she wrote notes in them. She wrote things in them. And I was just telling her how greatly I see how God uses her. So age is not, you know, the number doesn't, it just is seeing that you're continuing to be fruitful, continuing, seeing the growth of God, you know, within it, within you. So anybody got anything they want to?
You know, on that verse 11, mm-hmm. where it talks about his enemies, you know, we know that if up in the New Testament, Jesus said, pray for them that despitefully use you. And in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, I'm kind of paraphrasing that there. But, you know, when you talk about heaping coals of fire, I believe it's like what it is in Isaiah. It's the fire off of the altar of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to cleanse and to burn up the inequity in their life as we pray for them. We don't pray for destruction of them. We pray for destruction of attitudes and wrong thinking and things like that by really blessing those that curse you, you know. And that's not an easy thing to do. And it takes a, you know, in the Old Testament, they had natural enemies that they were fighting all the time. You know what I mean? And we still have some of that today, but not as much as they did, you know, because they were usually at war with all of their surrounding neighbors and so on and so forth all the time. And but we have battles and wars within our own mind most of the time. And we do have battles and wars sometimes with those around us who don't have godly thinking. I was watching this man the other day, and he actually was interviewing Benny Hinn, you know. And boy, he was just trying to chew him up and spit him out, you know, with the things he was saying. But, you know, it's one of those things that people think that they're being righteous when they come against people, you know, because they disagree with them. And they're not. They're being hateful, and they're being diversive, you know. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I think that we, Brother Eddie used to make a statement, sons of God are they that ascend and condescend the men of all states. And I think that whether you agree with somebody even, you know, or not, you know, scripturally or doctrinally or any of those things, if you're having the right attitude, you'll be praying for that person.
Yes.
If you see something they don't see, you'll be praying that God will enlighten them, you know, not have an adversarial thing. And I have to say, Benny Hinn was handling it pretty good. Now, I don't know about his ministry. I know about it some, but I don't know, you know, I don't judge those ministries because that's there in God's hand. And I like what Bill Britton said one time. He said he was had an opportunity to be on this TV show, and he said, I had all these ministers sitting around up there, and it was kind of a discussion thing. They were talking about different things. And he said, I thought, man, when I get out there, he said, I know some of the guys are shysters. He said he was actually thinking, he said, I'm going to expose them. And he said, I got out there, and the Lord said, leave them. I love them. He said, so I left them alone. And we used to have a brother here at this church that, oh, every time I'd see him, he would come up real negative about things. And he sent me letters and all kinds of things, very negative about the ministry here. He was trying to twist me, you know, and I knew what he was doing. And I wanted to respond to him so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. And every time I'd sit down to write him a letter, the Lord would say, leave him alone. And I thought, okay. So I just left him alone. And I mean, he continued to do that kind of stuff for years and years with a lot of the people in his church. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to mention his name, but you know what I'm talking about. And he would do that stuff with all kinds of people in his church, you know, trying to be negative about it. And what the Lord really let me know, he was like Balaam. He was standing on the outside trying to prophesy in, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And even though what Balaam said to a certain extent was true a lot, he was called a false prophet. You know,
he died with the enemy. Yeah, because they tried to...
Because he didn't come and be a part... Why would... You know, if even when he prophesied, he had to prophesy blessings upon Israel.
Yeah, because that king wanted him to put curses on
him. Yeah.
And every time he do it, he couldn't.
He couldn't do it because God wouldn't let him, see. But even with that, if he'd have been in the right position, why would he not have went down and joined himself
yes.
with them? You know what I'm saying? And been a part of what
he
got,
joined
the
himself
that
to the wrong ones because he died
with them. Yeah.
And I think also how the scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
And you got to think of that. When
spiritual wickedness in high places.
That's right.
You know, sometimes in high places it's up here.
Yes.
Sometimes it's in other people's minds, the high places, that they're trying to bring your
yes.
faith and trust in God down, you know.
Most of the time, I can remember we used to want to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. You know, we would go, you know, we went through
and,
that.
You know, and there are times when God might have you do that, but I mean,
But now he's wanting you to bless them, like you said, that he's to go. And you got to leave people where they are. Many times you look, see where they are, and you want to enlighten them. So, you know, and expose what they don't know and where they're at. And God wants you to, like you said, leave them alone and let him deal with them. And
you know, and even with that portion of scripture right there, you know, he's basically praying, you know, telling God to take care of the enemies. But a lot of times, God won't take care of them in the way that you would take care of them.
Oh, yeah.
He'll end up blessing them or causing you to be a blessing to them, even when they're not being a blessing to you, you know. And
I have written on here that our greatest enemy is our own mind, will, thoughts, intents, and motives. And the only way that we can be righteous is to grow like the cedar trees in Lebanon. And I looked I looked up and wrote down a lot of things about the cedar, you know, trees. Mm-hmm. And
incorruptible.
Yeah. And it was saying how we should flourish like the palm tree, and that they are planted, and it says, and God, the house of the Lord, flourish in the courts of our God. Mm-hmm. But growing in grace they shall bring forth fruit in old age, mm-hmm. where it says full of sap, spiritual vitality, rich in the verdure, they have of trust, of love, and contentment. And looked up and it said green. I looked up the word V-E-R, not the D-U-R-E, and it means green of the plant, green, which is
green.
Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
green vegetation.
Yeah.
Growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is life. And that they will be living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. And he's wanting to be doing all that in and through us. And I was just seeing how the song we used to sing where you plant it by rivers of water, and I had written down the scripture.
God said I'm a tree.
Yes. And that's in Psalm 1:3, if someone wanted to read that. And also in, let me see the other scripture I wrote it down. In Psalm 1:3 and Jeremiah 17:8. Someone wants to look that up.
1:3 is, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yes, and that's prospering in him. The other one is Jeremiah 17:8. I have Daniel 4:10 to 12. There's another scripture. Go in, Bobby.
The one in Jeremiah. Was that chapter 17? Mm-hmm. Verse 8?
Yes.
For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spread out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when he comes. But its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought. Nor shall it cease yielding fruit.
That's good.
Yes, yes, I thought it was very good. And what was it? Daniel 4:10, 12. If anybody's got that.
10 through 12?
Mm-hmm.
Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it.
Don't you just see, you got something to add on that.
Well, I was thinking of a scripture in Revelation where there was a crystal stream that ran out from the throne of God. Mm-hmm. And on each side of the stream, there was a tree. And the tree bore 12 manner of fruit. Mm-hmm. And the fruit was for the healing of the nations.
Yes.
You know, and like that first Psalm, blessed. water, he'll bring forth his fruit in his season. You know, and it says, and he hath God here, not so. But when you realize that Jesus, and Scripture tells us that he was the original tree. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
When you get right down to it, that's what it amounts out to. And when you see that the trees were one was on one side of the stream and one was on the other side of the stream, what you begin to realize is that as he is, so are we in this world.
Oh, see? Yes.
And, you know, if you go back into Zechariah, yeah, Zechariah it is,
mm-hmm.
and where he said, he basically talks about he begins to describe the lampstand, and on one side was an olive tree, and on the other side was another olive tree, and they amplified it. It's beautiful when they amplified. But it says that they poured a ceaseless supply of oil into the lampstand, and the lampstand is significant of the church. You know, the church mm-hmm. is the lampstand.
Mm-hmm.
And what it really is it's Jesus pouring in from one side and the sons of God pouring in from the other side. And it's going to be a ceaseless supply of oil. And, you know, a lot of times when you get into people who teach deeper truths, they almost tend to look down on the church. And they don't need to be looking down on the church because Scripture says, and your sons will marry you.
Yes, yes.
It's time for the sons of God to come back and marry the church in the sense of bringing it up into the nature and the name of God, you mm-hmm. know, the authority and all that stuff. And I tell you, it's, when you get into the trees, buddy, it's something. And even when you talk about in the Garden of Eden, and you talk about the trees back there,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's other places in Scripture where it talks about nations being like these trees, you know. So, you got to realize that in the Garden of Eden, a lot of that's an allegory. You know, mm-hmm. it happened, but it's also an allegory. And we don't totally understand. If we understood everything that's in Genesis, we would know everything. If we really understood the depth of it, we would understand everything in the Bible. Because God's whole purpose was beginning to be laid forth there, mm-hmm. you know. And just like I shared a while back about when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you know. Well, that word for beginning there is a word that really means the first fruits. It's a word to say in the first fruits. If you go back and look at the original Hebrew, it says the first fruits, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And if you come up into Psalm 82, he said, I have said, ye are Elohim. And sons of the Most High,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so we were in God originally mm-hmm. when everything was created. We were part of that creative process. And you know, when like I said, when you come through Genesis and you really understand everything that's happening back there, it's pretty much the whole story. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But that's beautiful about the trees. And you know, each tree is after its own kind. And if we're a tree of God, we're going to bring forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, mm-hmm. gentleness, meekness, temperance, because that's the fruits of the Spirit. That's mm-hmm. the thing we're going to bring forward. And the only thing I will say about a tree sometimes is that until a tree is fully grown, and when it first begins to bear fruit, if you pick the fruit then and eat it, it's extremely bitter
mm-hmm.
because it hasn't come to the fullness of the maturity of what it's going to be. But boy, once it gets mature and you pick it, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to my uncle's and he had plum trees and he had apple trees and stuff. And I used to love to climb up in those things and, mm-hmm. and get that fruit. And he didn't care, you know. And but boy, if you picked it before time, it wasn't good. It was bad.
That can speak for us.
You know? And we have to realize in dealing with other Christians sometimes, that's what happens when you think, we said, Sister So-and-so, well, she really didn't have a lot of fruit. Well, yes, she did. It just wasn't matured yet. It mm-hmm. still got a little bitterness in it until God, you know, brings it to the fullness of time, you know. But, you know, I love when the Scriptures talk about trees, because that song you said, you sang, thank mm-hmm. God I'm a tree. Thank 61, it also talks there about us being the planting of the Lord, you know, that he might be glorified.
Yes.
It's always about him. We think it's about us sometimes, but it's really not. It's always about him being glorified. But he's going to be glorified in you.
And Zechariah, what scripture is that?
In Zechariah?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the fourth chapter. Let me get back in a little. I don't even brought any glasses with me. I think I forgot them last week. It's in my office. Let's see. Let's go back to Zechariah.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in. Are you talking about the oil? Or?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. I think it's the fourth chapter.
Yeah, it says, and the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me,
uh-huh,
like a man who's awakened out of his sleep, and said to me, what do you see? And I said, I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with its bowl for oil on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil. And then it gives it in Revelation.
Yes. And I think, doesn't it say a ceaseless supply of oil?
Yes, it said feeding it continuously,
mm-hmm,
with oil. Do you have something? Is it ready?
I didn't even look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the thing that's neat about that, if you notice, there was seven bowls on the top of that lampstand. In other words, and you go into the Revelation, how many churches were there?
Seven. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seven churches. You know, and it, the lampstand's always talking about the church. And, you know, the lampstand has light, but it doesn't have the Shekinah glory.
Mm-hmm.
The church has light, but they have it on a limited basis at this point. But there's going to come a time when the church begins to move over into the Holy of Holies and realizes that veil has been taken away.
Mm-hmm.
It's been rent too, to where the Shekinah glory, then shall we know, even if we're not, mm-hmm,
Further down it says, then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts.
I love that scripture. Isn't that? The Amplified brings that out better than any other translation. Yes. I've looked at a lot of translations of that, and it brings it out beautifully. And you realize he's the tree, the original tree on one side. He's pouring in. The sons of God have come out of the church. They're on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pouring back in. And when that happens, it becomes a ceaseless supply of oil.
Yes.
A ceaseless supply of his spirit and of his anointing. And then if you go back up into Revelation, and he talks about, he saw the city, New Jerusalem, coming down from above. It adorned as a bride for her husband, you know. And you realize what the glory that God's going to give to the church is going to be so fantastic. Because, you know, if you realize that when you go to a wedding, you got to look at things in the natural and declare things in, mm-hmm, spirit by time. You go to a wedding and you sit down, who comes down the aisle?
The bride.
The bride. Where's everybody's attention at?
On the bride.
On the bride. She gets the glory. The groom is up there already, but he's standing up there. But there ain't too many people sitting there looking, oh boy, he's going to look at that nice. They're not doing that. They're looking at the bride because she's decked out in all the glorious apparel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that God's doing with the church. He's going to deck the church out with such glorious apparel,
mm-hmm,
that when he begins to really disclose them and really show the world them as they grow up, you know,
mm-hmm,
then man, it's going to be it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You know.
Good morning. I had looked up the word cedars because God, what he stood out to me more in this that I've read of those three. We're in 92, 11 through 15. And I looked up cedars,
uh-huh,
and it's a wood valued for its pleasing fragrance, color, and composition. Cedar was used in cleansing and purification ceremonies described in the Jewish law. King David built his palace from cedar, and Solomon utilized cedar wood in construction of God's temple. Later, cedar was used to rebuild the temple in Ezra, when that king gave him permission, you know, and helped in building, gave the wood and gave that to help Ezra. And then Nehemiah, well, he did the wall, was doing, you know, the wall. The prophets used cedar as a symbol of rarity, strength, and wealth. And I just see that with us, that we are just, I know you want to say something, I can see. So go.
Well, I will tell you this. If you go into a wealthy person's house, their closets are lined with cedar.
Yeah.
And the reason that they're lined with cedar is because moths will not come in there, because that repels them, the smell of cedar. And that's why women years ago, and they don't do it much today, you might, everybody, all the ladies in here might have had, was a hook chest. They had hook chest. And it was usually a cedar chest.
Yeah.
It was almost always a cedar chest. And hook chest was where you put in all of the stuff before you got married. You start getting your blankets and all the little stuff that you're going to do in your house and all that kind of stuff. And almost always was a cedar chest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, cedar, remember what that scripture where it talks about, he's going to restore what the canker worm and what all
yes.
the hay and all
yes.
that kind of stuff. That's why it's cedars, you know, because they won't eat. They can't eat there because they can't take that smell of cedar. If you put cedar, that's why a lot of times, even if you take little cedar blocks, get cedar blocks and you hang them around in your closet, you won't get moths and stuff eating your clothes. They won't come in there because they don't like that smell. It repels them. So, you know, when you even think about that, you know, even the things of the natural, like I said, it's clutter the things of God.
You remember the little cedar balls on the white that they put in their drawers and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, and you realize that even as God makes us into these trees, you know, and we're going to have a fragrance, we're going to have a something that's not going to allow the canker worms to eat anymore, not going to allow the moths. If you read that scripture about the canker worms and all that stuff, all that is, it's the same thing at different stages of growth. You know, I mean, you know, go back and you actually look at that and look up what those words mean. It's all the same thing, but it's just at different stages of growth. And, you know, but I'll tell you what, God's word is so perfect when you get into it and you really start seeing what it's really saying and things. I mean, it's so amazing. I mean, I just get flabbergasted sometimes when I see the things that are in the Word that, you know, and God opens them up. You think, wow, what a tremendous thing.
And it stood out because it said the cedars of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up the word, you know, about Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And the term occurs over 70 times in the Old Testament. But the name does not appear in the New Testament, Lebanon. And first it was associated with the mountain range in the region of Lebanon, evokes images of glory, fertility, and abundance, it says. And it said, high elevation gives Lebanon the sense of majesty and glory. And it said, the cedars used to indicate stature and beauty. It's based on the root of the term to be white, because it whitens the sins of Israel. It's showing that. And the melting snows that was talking up on the mountain, plus the arrival rainfall, ensures abundance and fertility. And I just kept seeing us. Seeing us in, you know, in this, and that is his glory and his majesty in and through us. And I was just,
well, see, a lot of people have problems with people when they talk about sonship, or they talk about the kingdom as it or anything like that. Because a lot of people in out in the church in general out there are saying, oh, you're making yourself out to be God. Well, no.
He did. He did.
He said, I'll not give my glory to another. You're not another. When you were born again, you were born of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You're a part of Him now, you know. And when you realize you're a part of Him, it's not another, you know. And you know, and that's the biggest deception that ever happened back in Genesis, see, when man sinned, you know, originally, was that he began to believe that he wasn't what God said he was, you know. Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He began to believe that he wasn't in the image and likeness of God, you know. And that doesn't make you a little God. That just makes you a part of all that he is, you know. And, you know. And, you know, like I say, a lot of people have a problem with that, but it's because they don't really understand. And you can't fault anybody for anything that they don't understand, you know. Because God has to give them the understanding.
We've all come through where much that we didn't understand. Look back at some of the things you did and said, oh, Lord, you are merciful and so gracious, you know, to us.
Well, Randy, did you have anything today?
Yeah.
You look like you're digging over there, buddy.
I'm reading, you know, the scriptural footnotes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, 14 is the one that kind of stuck out in my head. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. So it relates, they leave a footnote in here for Romans 9:14.
I go ahead and that too. You gonna read it? It goes
says,
on down.
Israel's some. Rejection and God's justice. So it says, what shall we say then? Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. So Paul writes in this section here, he's basically, I think he's anticipating kind of a rejection of sorts, you know. You know, to his idea of the theology that he's putting forward, you know. So, in essence, there's a footnote in here that says, if God were to choose some people for salvation and pass over others, apart from their merits or actions, that would make God arbitrary and unfair.
Mm-hmm.
And it relates to Psalms 7:9, mm-hmm. 14:10, 71:19, and 119:37. That's kind of interesting how they tie that together.
If you read Romans the 9th chapter sometime and really study into that, you'll find out that, you know, it basically says God said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy,
yes,
and whom I will, I'll have compassion. But if you realize basically what we teach is that ultimately he's going to have mercy and compassion on
everyone.
Even the one, because none of us deserve it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. But if we did, it would be by works rather than by grace, you know. And, you know, it says, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It is not of you that will, or of you that run. It says, but of God which showeth mercy.
Mm-hmm.
For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that thy name might be, my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he pardoneth. And he said he hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yes.
You know, in fact here. And he says, thou wilt then say unto me, why doeth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it? Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel of honor? And I have a hard time reading this, I don't have a glass on. Unto our another unto dishonor. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power none, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy, which he hath before prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. But I mean, you know, it pretty much tells you there, he has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. Mm-hmm. When Jacob and Esau were born, before they were born, he said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I said hated, and mm-hmm. put that's heaven well with disregard. It was because it was a type of two natures there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And yet, when Jacob went through his whole experience with God, all the way to Laban's house and leaving and all that, what did he go back? He went back to Esau and was willing to give Esau everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that. When the church gets willing to give the world everything it has, then there'll be a redemption. It'll be just a fantastic thing. Instead of pointing a finger at them and telling them how bad they are. And what did he was expecting that Esau would reject him, but Esau didn't.
No.
And see, that's the thing. There's going to come a time when the world's no longer reject the church, no longer reject Christ, when we really begin to show the love and the mercy of God. You know?
Because he says there, who can resist and withstand his will, God's will? That's what,
I don't know how that reads in Amplified, but that mind probably reads pretty good in Amplified. Right off the top of my head, I can't really not read, but this is just the King James, but it's laid out there pretty good there. You know?
And he said that he made his heart, Pharaoh's heart, hardened it, made it stubborn and unyielding. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on and said, how can you find fault? And said, because who can resist or withstand his will? Because we're just mere men. How can we criticize or contradict and answer back to God? Will that which, will what is formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? My God, and I remember Brother Prince in the message, he was talking about God being in control, and he was talking, said, in one scripture in Psalm said, even the wrath of man shall praise and bring glory, you know, to God. So in all things, God is going to receive glory.
Yes.
Even though you may look at it
and
think it's a
natural,
negative.
You can't understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, you can't understand that with your natural mind because it just doesn't mm-hmm. make sense.
Yeah.
But my goodness, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wise wisdom of man. You know?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The things that a man considers to be foolish is way wiser than the wisdom of man. You know? But yeah, that's good. Yep. You know, even when you think about Jeremiah, where did God send him down? To the potter's house.
Yes.
Told him, watch the potter. And he made one vessel, and he had another one they said was marred in the hands of the potter.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it was distorted. So the potter basically distorted him. And the Lord told him, he said, am I not the potter? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back years ago when I read that, the Lord gave me that poem about the processing of the Lord, and basically the processing of the Lord continues his day as he's working right in the clay is formed with his right hand to make it a vessel fit into his plan. After he's placed it upon his wheel and he's twisted and turned and spun with his zeal,
mm-hmm.
the beauty of the vessel is apparent to see, but if you fill it with water, it no longer will be, for the water will cause it to sag and to fall. For the strength of the vessel is not there after all, but the master was lifted with both of his hands right in there. Process it farther, it might be just the hands, and into the fiery furnace of the stove to be tested and tried, as will be to show, was to strengthen the vessel and cause it to be an honor, a vessel of honor and dignity, for the value of the vessel is not the vessel at all, but what is contained by the strength of its water.
Mm.
And what God really dealt with about that is the impart nature. We still have some of that impart nature, you know, we're double-minded at times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to let us go through the fire.
Yes.
Mm. And the fire can be tribulations and things like that, but also can be revelation of God because he's consuming fire.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, when you go on and walk with God for a long time, you'll find you'll hit places where you just think, my God, where are you? Where are you in this? Because he's burning out the in part. And guess what it seems like he burns out? He burns out the in part. The water. You don't burn out the clay. Mm-hmm. You know, when you put a clay pot in there and it's wet, it's moist, and he puts it in a kettle, that fire doesn't burn the clay. It burns the water out.
Yes,
it takes the water out. And sometimes you feel like, God, where are you? You took the water. I don't feel the water at all. You know, real strong like I used to. But you know what? We look up and rejoice when it happens, because what's going to happen if you'll hang in there with him, what will happen ultimately is that then he can fill the water right to the brim. Mm-hmm. You know? And if he poured the water in before, if you still were doing that duality of nature a lot, what would happen is that it would destroy the water pipe, because it doesn't have strength of the walls, you know. And my goodness, what I said afterwards so perfect. I mean, gosh, it's amazing. Flabbergasts me sometimes when I see what he's doing and how he does things. It's just unreal.
I know, I was looking at, it's been probably maybe a month or weeks ago, and God was saying, I woke up and he said, trials make you strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, make me strong. And I was seeing things that I was going through.
Yeah.
But it causes you to so depend upon him and to look to him. And you're seeing the work that he is doing. And your strength is in him. It's not in yourself or what you can accomplish or think you can do. But I said, well, when you look at it, it does make you strong. Because it really deepens your relationship in him, causes you to depend upon him more and so submit and commit and to allow him to work his will and to do what he's wanting to do within you. And I said, well, that's great. Because at first I said, it makes me strong. When I first I said, how in the world is this going to make me strong?
Yeah.
I feel like it was weakening me, bringing me down. Well, it was.
It actually is. But it's breaking the part of you down that's you and not him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, praise God.
Is anybody else got anything they want to share?
Well, let's see. What did we talked about the trees. Let's see what else we got here.
And talked about the fruit.
Well, even in that 13th verse, it says, like trees planted in the temple. This is out of a different translation.
Mm-hmm.
It says, like trees planted. This is out of that, the expanded translation.
Mm-hmm.
It says, like trees planted in the temple house of the Lord, they will grow strong and sprout in the courtyards of our God. And you know, when I see something like that, I begin to think of the songs that we sing. You know, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his what?
Courts
with praise. And we can't emphasize how important praising God is in all things. Not for all things,
mm-hmm.
but in all things. And see, that you know, a lot of people take issue and say, oh, bless God. I just had a terrible thing happen. I'm supposed to praise God for that? No, you don't praise him for that. You praise him in spite of that. And when you praise him in spite of that, then his peace and his joy and all that other things can begin to rise in your heart,
mm-hmm.
and give you that peace that passes understanding in the midst
mm-hmm.
of a real trying situation sometimes, you know. And you know, and that's not an easy thing to do. But you know, when I wanna dwell in those courts of the Lord continuously,
yes.
you know. And I don't say that I'm always there, you know, I mean I go in and out too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's coming a time, like it says in Revelations, that him that overcometh will make a pillar in the temple of my God, he'll go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about that. He's going to write the nature, the character, the authority of God upon you,
mm-hmm.
and the authority of the city of God. And the city of God is Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
you know, New Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the mother of us all, and that word Jerusalem, if you break it down, it means to point with the finger, to pour forth, to teach peace.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what, that's what the world needs out there. They need the church to rise up and really begin to teach them to be at peace. And the only way they're ever going to learn that is if we introduce them to the Prince of Peace. You know, and if we really introduce them to the Prince of Peace and show them the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus, that nature and character of him and his body, then, you know, then the world will, when we stand up as one, you know. Yes. Praise God. I'm talking too much today.
Well, I hope people talk. That they join in and share too. Yes.
But, praise God.
Yes. We were 13 and then 14. We're growing in grace. Where we're saying they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap, of spiritual vitality.
Yes.
And rich in the virtue of trust, love, and contentment. For they are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Oh, so good. So I don't know if anyone else got anything else to share or want to add or... I thank God for how things have went. I was nervous. I said, oh, Lord, and they said, they're going to have me teach it. I said,
I'm going to talk a little bit about old age and stuff out there today, so you can drive.
Praise the Lord. Because I look at everybody, I was looking at how Rich goes in detail on that, and God said, be yourself. He told me. And just to give as he gives to me, and we all have, it's a many-member body, and we all have that part that we play, that we have, our responsibility unto him, in where he has placed us, and how he is, you know, wanting to use us as a new. So that gave me more of a peace and relaxed last session. Let me just share how God has given it to me. And I thank y'all for that shared and gave.
You did very good. It's very good. You know, the thing about it is that so many times when you start teaching and you start doing stuff, you know, you can only be who you are.
Yes.
You can't be somebody else.
That's right.
You know, I realized that a long time ago. I couldn't be Brother Addie. I couldn't be Carl. I couldn't be anybody but Oscar. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you do that, it begins to take the pressure off, because you're not trying to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just be who God has you be.
Yes.
You have a perspective and a way of sharing things that will minister to a lot of people that maybe I wouldn't, or that somebody else wouldn't, or Rich wouldn't, you know. And this thing's going out on the internet. You don't know how many thousands, millions, or whatever of people will hear this, even this Sunday school class today. So, you know, you look around, we're a small group. But, you know, we had a little block. He said, oh, little block. Big, massive, gated church. You know, he said, little flock. You know. And we definitely fit that category.
But we're mighty in him.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Because it's not by our power or by his spirit.
That's right. Nice. Amen. So you did a great job. You did very good.
Thank you. I thank the Lord. Lord, and you can only share out of your experiences.
That's right.
You know, that's what right. God has done in you, revealed to you in and through and your experiences. So who wants to pray? You want to pray?
Sure, I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Truly, they are spirit and life.
Thank you.
I thank you for the sharing here today.
Yes.
Thank you that you're being high and lifted up.
Yes,
Father, we want to continue to lift you up.
Thank you.
And I ask you to just bless anyone that hears this Sunday school class today.
Yes.
And just give them ears to really hear what was said.
Yes.
And if there's anything they didn't understand, to get before you and wait before you, and that you might reveal it to them. And we'll give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.